Brian Had a Dream, 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
Hi, once again, I'm Ben.
And I'm Brian.
And you are listening to The Quest for 10,000, our audio journey with Brian as he tries to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. In this episode, we review our summer predictions. Who won the summer? Who lost? Where were we right? Where were we oh so wrong? And Brian will share his top five performers, winners of the summer, who rose to the top and has positioned themselves to be heard of in the movie industry, according to Brian, for seasons to come. But before we get to all of that, Brian, as usual, tell us where you are on the quest for 10,000.
8,170.
All right, and what is the last movie you saw?
I watched two movies today. One was Vanity Fair by Leonardo DiCaprio, documenting his 2 years as a UN ambassador of peace, promoting awareness of climate change. And it was good, but it would have been better without him, because it seemed like he was just a big ego project, you know. More, and at some point he said, "Yeah, sometimes I wonder if I'm a big hypocrite because my footprint's probably bigger than anybody." It's like, duh, you know, like at least you acknowledged it. But it felt like it was just, hey, I'm a good guy because I care, you know. And the second movie was a little bit of a change of pace. It was a B movie from the 50s, The Giant Claw.
The Giant Claw.
Yeah.
See, that makes me think of the Jim Carrey movie, Liar, Liar, The Claw.
Wow. Well, he may have been watching this movie, but it's a B movie special, it was what it was.
You say that was a change of pace. You mean that was a change of pace for you, or just?
From the previous movie, I went from climate change to giant birds from outer space.
That is quite a big jump. How did your brain handle that? Because you probably make jumps like that often in this.
Yeah, sometimes you do have to, like, you have to just shake it loose and forget what you just watched, because the next thing is going to be nothing like that. But I think several months back, and this is from a backlog on my DVR, Turner Classic Movies had a month where they showed a lot of B movies from the 50s and into the 60s. And so I'm clearing off some of those. That's why I watched The Giant Claw.
Giant Claw. Hey, you know, we've said it before, you watch things so we don't have to. So.
Well, you know, some of it, you know, and there's a place for stuff like that, you know, stuff silly, you know, over the top, crazy science fiction movies. It's in the rain. It's like a poor man's Godzilla.
Well, listeners, there's a place for that movie. There's also a place for you on this journey. Reminder, you can join with us by following Brian on Twitter at 10K Movies, T-E-N-K Movies, or on his blog, 10kmovies.com. Drop us a note on maybe what's your favorite B-movie. Have you seen The Claw? And is your carbon footprint any bigger than Leonardo DiCaprio's?
Probably not.
Probably.
Unlikely.
So let's move on now then into our big topic for this episode of The Quest for 10,000, and that's our summer movie reviews. Now, a couple months ago, Brian and I, as we have done on this podcast since we began, we kind of took a moment just to look at the summer releases. Summer means lots of movies and sometimes lots more free time to go and see them. And so from that episode, I remember we had some movies we thought would be surefire hits, some others that we thought would be duds, and maybe some that were right in the middle. So Brian, which do you think of the predictions we had, which ones were the most true, do you think?
Well, I think we both thought that Spider-Man would be a hit and a good movie, and it was. I think that was a layup in a lot of ways. I think Spider-Man was good. I think you had really high expectations for Wonder Woman, and I think it probably met and more than likely exceeded those expectations. Yeah. So on those, I think we pretty much knew how we felt, and I think we were right.
Right. I think I remember talking about, you know, what movie was going to own the summer, right? What movie would you remember? And to me, that's still Wonder Woman. If I think about the summer, I think Wonder Woman, just because I think it's a more unique film in a lot of ways than Spider-Man Homecoming.
Well, and it may be the movie that turned around the DC Universe, you know, sagging hopes, although apparently Justice League has a lot of troubled, it just screams troubled picture, everything you hear about it.
Yeah, well, we can talk about that more in another episode, but trust in reading on that one. But I was thinking about Spider-Man Homecoming, too, and why I liked it. It does raise a question for me, is are some of the Marvel movies becoming more or less forgettable in the long run? Mm-hmm. Memorable in the moment, enjoyable in the moment, never a bad time really sitting in and watching a Marvel movie.
But don't you think that's how comic books are?
And that may be inherent. You're right. That may be inherent to the source material and things like that. But the thing that got me thinking about this was the fact that Guardians of the Galaxy 2 kicked off the summer. And it's almost like nobody really remembers that.
I do. I love the movie.
But then again, it didn't sort of capture people's attention the same way.
No, because it was more of the same. And yeah, I agree. It didn't.
And maybe the timing of that one. You know, they released it at a time where it's maybe a little bit easier to forget. That's why I think Wonder Woman just to me a harder movie to forget than Spider-Man. And I think the critical consensus would be if you looked at all the movies that were released this summer. In addition to Spider-Man and Wonder Woman, I think two others that people would argue or what the summer will be remembered for would be Baby Driver
and Dunkirk.
Right. Yeah. So have you been able to see either one of those films?
I have not seen either one of them. I know they're both, you know, beloved. I know Dunkirk is the movie that I feel like this happens every couple of years. This is the movie that proves Christopher Nolan is the auteur of, you know, of our time. But I absolutely adored Interstellar, although I've gotten a little bit of a vibe of a backlash against that movie over the past year or so of people that I can have all kinds of plot holes, and it's like, I loved it, you know, whatever. But I feel like Dunkirk it doesn't have quite those vibes, although I did get some people complaining about it, the way it kept the Nazis backgrounded, you know, that's something, but whatever. I think I love the movie. I don't know a lot about Baby Driver, except I know I like it. You're right, and it's his highest grossing movie.
Yeah.
So
about Dunkirk, I think you're right. I've not seen either one of those films yet either. The only negative I've heard about Dunkirk really seems to be more of people going in expecting one thing and kind of getting another. So mm-hmm. kind of a difference in people's expectations, maybe about the tone of the film and maybe, you know, not realizing it's a story about a military failure. And so you kind of have to come to grips with that a little bit. But again, I agree. I think Nolan.
Well, you know, a lot of people
getting an Academy Award.
A lot of people make anti-war films that wind up with the good guys winning. And I think his point is that, you know, if you're going to talk about how bad war is, you got to realize it's, you know, you got to go the full Monty, I guess. It's a very personal film for him. You're right. I think he has a chance to move into more critical success this year. Although Interstellar to me is a great film, but another movie that's kind of gotten lost over the summer, I think but gotten good reviews, but still, I don't think captured the imagination of people quite like the other two did, is The War for the Planet of the Apes. I think that movie kind of got lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, and that's another one I remember thinking, I mean, it'll be okay, but
I've heard great things, but I feel like, you know, I think both of us were probably equally skeptical of the Emoji Movie. I think maybe you were a little more skeptical than I was. I was holding out hope it could pull a Lego Movie type thing out of somewhere, and no, it was.
I think the direct quote you shared with me that Rotten Tomatoes had a 0% rating.
And yeah,
you back that seems too high.
Yeah, I think it was.
I think we nailed that one.
Yeah, we did.
I seem to remember thinking that Valerian looked really pretty, but was just not going to do anything, and it tanked pretty hard.
It did.
Did you see the story about its director like going off on Marvel movies? Maybe this is the other reason why the Marvel.
Well, you know, the director Luc Besson, he's the guy that directed Fifth Element, right?
I believe so, yeah.
And I think his reputation pretty much relies on that movie. Like, that's pretty much it. He's been living off that now for 20 years. He's made other movies, but I just don't think any of the rest of them have been quite as well, received. And I don't know. Yeah. Although I hate that because I love Clive Owen. I'm looking now and seeing that Rihanna was in it and Ethan Hawke.
I do still think, you know, it's the type of movie that when, like, say, award season comes around, an effects thing, a makeup thing, a costume.
It'll get a. It could get.
It might get some exposure that way. I'm kind of interested to see, you know, Dunkirk. I think, you know, it's an awards season movie.
It'll be shocking if it got. I don't know. I haven't heard, and don't get the feel that it'll garner any nominations for the actors involved. But I'd be extremely surprised if it didn't get anywhere from 6 to 10 Academy Award nominations. Depending.
Direction, best director, best picture, you know, would seem pretty.
Sound editing, special effect, all, you know, you never know how best director will come because it's only 5. Best picture, you would think that it's going to be in the 9 best movies of this year. I mean, you just feel that it should be, but you just never know.
Now, this is not a hope unique to me. I share this with several other folks I've read and seen on Twitter. I really hope, going back to Guardians, even though it was, in some senses, a little bit forgettable, the Michael Rooker, who played Yondu, you know, I could see maybe some buzz for him. They could maybe do some promotional work for him for Best Supporting Actor, maybe.
I think of the we're talking about Oscar buzz. I think Gal Gadot has an outside chance of getting nominated for Wonder Woman. I don't think Wonder Woman itself will, but I think she might because of the symbolism of what that would say and the momentum that would give and the eyeballs that would bring to the ceremony. I think, you know, all those things could be in factor for her sneaking in with a nomination. I don't think Wonder Woman itself, because at the end of the day, you know, I think we will remember her, but the movie itself, maybe it's not as great as her performance. You know what I'm saying? The movie as a whole is good, but her performance is maybe more in the pop culture zeitgeist than the movie is.
But, yeah, I understand what you're saying there. Although, you know, again...
I love Chris Pine. I mean, I think Chris Pine was great.
And Patty Jenkins is well respected.
She is. You know, she is.
She might get.
She could. She could.
Some recognition as
a
well.
A lot of people seem to be. A lot of critics, at least, seem to be talking up Kathryn Bigelow for the Detroit movie. I don't feel that it's gotten any buzz from moviegoers. I don't hear people talking about. I see a lot of critical praise, but it feels like a movie that everybody kind of recognizes is important, but nobody wants to sit through. You know, it's kind of like, oh yeah, I get it. Yeah, I'm not interested.
Thy name is Oscar, though.
Before
we move on to your top 5, and I feel like we've probably already mentioned a couple of folks, maybe who will be in your top 5, one for sure. We also need to be honest about where we were totally wrong about this summer. And two films coming to mind. I thought Cars 3 would be. You know, a big movie. But, you know, again, you know, it was I think as a film, probably mediocre box office wise, did fine. But again, this franchise just needs to be done.
It does.
It's
unbelievable
it has no
in a way.
Thing
well, it's unbelievable that Pixar has two series, two franchises that have gotten to a third movie, and one of those is Cars. Okay, it tells you something about how much John Lasseter loves this idea. For whatever reason, the idea of talking automobiles really appeals to him. So it's sort of his baby that he just won't let die.
Right.
But it's always weird because kids like Lightning McQueen and Mater. Like they do. I mean, they're drawn to them. They see them. They kind of light up. They see them. Oh, there's Lightning McQueen. Oh, there's Mater. When you go to Disney World, you see people lining up and being excited about it. But the movies generate no buzz. I mean, it's just weird that these characters could be as beloved and sort of embraced as they are, but their movies are not.
And I don't think those Cars toys are flying off the shelves quite as fast as they were when the first movie.
But I'm saying they have, if you show the characters from Cars, at least Lightning and Mater, they're probably, I don't know if it's applicable to animated people, but their Q score as far as like recognition amongst preschool. Off the charts.
I agree with you totally. But yeah, there's just not anything really beyond the initial recognition. The other movie.
Yeah, I know. This was a big disappointment for you.
Excited. I really was. The trailers absolutely fooled me. I love trailers, and they let me down. The Dark Tower.
Yeah. Listeners, you should not be surprised at Ben's disappointment with The Dark Tower. Like, he's been hyping this movie. He's been a fervent believer.
Excited. I was like, and
when all signs pointed to negative...
Idris Elba was good. There wasn't, like, horrendous acting, that took it out. It was just... The director just played it so safe and so paint by the numbers.
Well, I think it was one of those movies to where they... the source material was the pressure of the source material ruined the movie.
That may be it. It seems odd to me. That may be it, because as I've thought about it since we saw the movie a couple of weeks ago, they didn't follow a pattern of what some of these other fantasy series have done, which is, film kind of stuff back to back, kind of have what seemed to be an overarching plan to it. It just felt like this was a standalone movie, almost because they were too afraid that the source material, it'd be too dense, people wouldn't like it enough. So we need to make it so that, if this is the only shot we get, this is it. This is the only shot we get.
Mm-hmm.
And that just really, I think, cut the movie's legs right out from under it. And just tonally, there's so much. I mean, we could spend 30 minutes talking about what this movie did not do right. And it's just really a disappointment.
And about five talking about what it did well.
Yeah. McConaughey and Elba, I thought were both good. I thought McConaughey.
They were well cast.
Yeah.
They were highlights.
Even the more I think about McConaughey, like, you don't get a real sense of how nasty and horrible he is. I just,
Well, anyways. The character has no motivation. None.
Yeah, the less said about all that, the better. But yeah, I was completely wrong on that one. So there you have it. So listeners, tell us what you thought of movies this summer. Also, again, on Twitter at Brian's blog. And maybe tell us, too, what your top five would be of the winners of the summer. Brian is about to tell us his. So take it away, Brian. Top five winners of the summer.
I want to mention some of the losers too, because I think that's worth mentioning here. And I want to start off with one of the big losers of the summer. And I feel like, just because of the way things are going right now, I think Johnny Depp may have been one of the losers of this summer. Because I feel like the Pirates movie, do you even remember there was a Pirates movie?
There was a Pirates movie.
I mean, I feel like, he's beaten his one go-to. All those stories, those just barrage of negative stories about the possible physical violence bleeding over last year, but then into the he's broke and he has no money thing. I just feel like, you know, for a guy that was sitting on top of the world about 3 years ago, he's pretty poisonous right now.
Are you saying he's now at World's End?
Yeah, he is at World's End.
Yeah, he's tail, no tails.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly, 100%. But one of the winners of the summer, despite having a little bit of a mixed outcome with Baywatch, but I'm going to say The Rock he's just been solidified. You know, it feels like he's riding on a wave of just, no matter what he does, people just love him more and more and more. I think the Fast and the Furious movie, it's almost like the Fate of the Furious. You know, there were stories leaked that him and Vin Diesel had a big beef during it. And he seems to have won that beef in the court of public opinion. I think, you know, it's kind of like, okay, we'll take The Rock side automatically, default.
Well, he's an actor that it seems like, even if the movie's bad, he's so Teflon.
Yeah, we love
The Rock. Steve gets on him. Whatsoever.
Yeah, none.
Efron might be sort of the same way, just because everybody.
Efron is really close. He's not quite to like Rock level.
Of course not.
But see, but the Rock is so bizarre because The Rock's popularity, it transcends like racial, age dynamic. You can go into any demographic you want, and there's going to be, you know, chances are you're going to mention The Rock, and somebody in that room, their eyes are going to light up. And they'll be like, oh, I love it. I love him.
To prove your point, just the force of his charisma alone, I think, is enough to make him number five, even though the winning is sort of damning with faint praise. Hey, you were in a flop.
But now he was in Fate of the Furious.
Still shining.
Fate of the Furious was a good movie. I mean, well, you know, it was a successful movie.
Yeah. Right. Well, what about number four?
Okay. Well, I'm going to talk about, you know, a loser here. The Transformers series seems to be just dead on arrival now, right? I mean, I'm going to repeat it the same way I did with Pirates of the Caribbean. There was another Transformers movie this summer.
I did remember that.
And like, but I mean, no one was talking about it. No one saw it. Like, it just fit. And you know, I'm including the whole franchise, but I'm also going to say, I wonder if Michael Bay's moment is over. Like his real relevancy. If he needs to, you know, if it's like his particular brand of whiz bang and wow-em is kind of like, we've seen that now. I don't know if the stink of that movie will hurt Mark Wahlberg, because I mean he has been riding pretty high. But I don't think it will. I think if anything, it'll be all Michael Bay will be the problem.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg's an actor who hasn't ever. I mean, he's carried movies. He's been a lead in movies, but he's never been like on Johnny Depp. He's never had that high of a height to fall from.
No, but you know what, you see a good Mark Wahlberg movie, like you watch, like I watch Patriots Day, okay, the movie from last year, mm-hmm. Patriots Day, you see a movie like that, and you always come out of it thinking, man, I forget how good of an actor Mark Wahlberg is. Like he's in that, and he's in Deepwater Horizon, the movies that, you know, you don't really seek out, but when you see them, you always leave it thinking, he's so much better than he gets credit for being. He's gotten better as he's gotten older. I think, but to me, he's going to be exempt from it. Let's go with another.
Who would be your? So he's your Transformers is number four loser, number four winner.
Number four winner. I'm going to go with Edgar Wright because I think before Baby Driver, I think he had been a nerd's director. Like nerdy people liked him. You know what I'm saying? Like people were like, oh, I love Shaun of the Dead and I love Hot Fuzz and I love Scott Pilgrim versus the World, but I don't think he'd broken out of that like nerd culture shtick. And with Baby Driver, I think he's made a leap, and it'll be interesting to see what else he can do. Now, in some way, I think the reaction to Baby Driver is in some ways like people wanted him to succeed so badly because they feel like he got screwed on Ant-Man. So I think people were like, you know, really rooting for him. But let's move on. Let's move on to number three. The number three loser. And this is going to feel odd, but the number three loser is my confidence in the Star Wars franchise. Because of the kerfuffle of the director for the Han Solo movie. And the fact that the director of Episode 9, Colin Trevorrow, had one of the worst review movies of the summer in the Book of Henry that was reviled by everyone. and his next movie is Episode 9, so that's not a good sign. And then, and also, like, the stuff coming out now about Episode 8, where it feels like it's going to be a remake of Empire. So, because now they've announced that there's going to be, like, a bigger Starkiller base, which is, that's exactly what, like, if you can't break out of that mold, like, at some point, people are going to catch on to that and get a little tired of it. We'll give you Episode 7, because that's a part of the thing, it's the nostalgia's a part of it. But if that's what you do every time out, where it's going to get a little...
There'll be a lot in this year.
And this is also, like, you know, Rogue One, despite how much I love the movie, it had a very troubled production as well. And so how,
And how do you top killing Han Solo? You
can't. So it feels like the wheels are on and it's going ahead, but it feels like they're being held together by duct tape right now. You know, and it feels like I'm not saying I'm officially worried, but I think everybody's got their eyebrows arched and kind of nervous.
Number three winner.
I'm going to go back to somebody we've already mentioned, and I'm going to go with Chris Nolan for Dunkirk. You know, I think this movie has been firmly cemented, you know. And it's interesting, too, because he's one of the few directors that kind of made his big splash with a comic book movie that has been able to distance himself from comic book movies. You know, and of the recent batch. I mean, you could go back to Tim Burton being the same kind of thing. But, you know, before Dark Knight and before Batman Begins, I think most people saw Memento and people loved it, but not a whole lot of people saw it. You know, it wasn't like, because it was not for everyone. And I think, but with each film he makes, I think he gets a bigger and bigger following and his potential only grows.
Yeah, we've already mentioned how, you know, Dunkirk may finally win him an Academy Award, or at least make him a really top contender. So let's go on to your number twos, loser and winner.
The number two, loser of the summer. Let me look here and see what movie I had in mind, because I had something in mind. So let me look at it, because so give me just a second to find it here. Okay, my number two loser of the summer, a movie that, again, that wasn't summer, that was pre-summer, so hold on. Oh, okay, here's another loser of the summer. The Alien franchise. I think, again, you know, Covenant, I think some people had high expectations for, I didn't necessarily, but Ridley Scott coming back to the, you know, and he sort of pushed out that director Neil Blomkamp that had done District 9. So he had his idea for Alien, and he even got Sigourney Weaver on board, and they ditched her and ditched that him for Ridley, because Ridley, you know, kind of wanted the spotlight again. But that movie came and went and left no impression whatsoever.
Really, yeah. So, what about the winner in the number two spot?
The winner in the number two spot, I'm gonna go a little off kilter here, and I'm gonna say Chris Pratt is still winning the summer. just because
after the news, him and Anna Faris.
But you know, I get the feeling that he's gonna come out of this looking pretty good. They haven't necessarily said it, but all of the stories seem to be slanted towards him. I mean, they say that the part of the reason for their split was the competitiveness, and they make it sound like she was resentful of his huge career, that she didn't appreciate that she's slumming it on Mom while he's, you know, Guardians 2. So I don't know that, but that's just my feeling that that's going to only add. I mean, in fact, too, you know, where he is, being a single available person is not going to hurt his career.
So this may be one that we may not like it, but yeah, he probably still is winning. So, okay, let's move to number ones before we run up right against our time for this episode.
Okay.
Number one loser, number one winner.
Well, the number one loser is I'm gonna give this a tie to whoever came up with the idea of rebooting the Mummy franchise with Tom Cruise. And
not sure what is the worst, rebooting the franchise or rebooting the franchise with Tom.
And the idea of a monster shared universe that they were going to launch with this movie. I mean, that seems like the worst idea possible. And that movie, I mean, you were talking about a forgettable movie. It took me a minute. Oh yeah, that movie. So there was a lot of clunkers. And you know, that Universal had like 6 years worth of movies riding up. Bad idea.
And Tom Cruise now also hurt in some sort of stunt accident.
Yeah, it's not good.
A couple of days before we recorded. So the number one winner, number one loser, seems kind of obvious in retrospect. What about the number one winner? I'm thinking it's kind of obvious too.
Now. I think it is too. And I think, you know, Gal Gadot went from from 2 years ago being a name that no one knew to now being a name that everyone is aware of and knows who she is, even people that don't you know, follow comic book movies, they know the name. And she managed to take an iconic character, and now she is the image you think of when you think of that iconic character that's been around for 70 years, and that's a pretty cool place to be. And I, you know, I think nobody has really horrible things to say about the Wonder Woman movie. There are some nitpicking things here and there, but everybody loved it. Everybody loved her in it. Even the people that didn't like the movie loved her. So I, you know, she is now, for better or worse, the face of the DC franchise.
That's it. And the winner of Brian's Summer of Films. So again, tell us what you think on Twitter. Or on Brian's blog at 10K Movies or 10kmovies.com. We'll come back with you another episode in a couple of weeks where we might be talking again about the crossover between movies and football. So until then, we hope your week is a 10.
10 plus. Border.
Border. Line 11.